Welcome to episode 17 of Your New Mexico Government. I'm your host, Kaliole Colonna. Today on the show, I talk with Nash Jones of KUNM. We discuss the rights of pregnant workers, the Tobacco Products Act, and the topic everyone wants to hit, cannabis. Your New Mexico Government starts now. Back at you with Your New Mexico Government. We're here to talk about three issues that are pretty important: pregnancy, worker rights, tobacco, and everybody's favorite topic, cannabis. Here with me in studio is KUNM's own Nash Jones. Nash, how are you?
I'm doing well, Khalil. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me.
All right, so I'm going to talk about some other things. We're going to get to cannabis last.
Okay,
deal. Because everybody's just on
because
it.
Because it's the one that everyone wants to talk about.
Everybody wants to talk about it, and I totally understand why. But I want to talk about first the pregnancy workers bill.
Sure.
What is it? Dress it down for us.
Yeah, sure. So it's the Pregnancy Worker Accommodation Bill specifically. And what it does is it amends the New Mexico Human Rights Act. Mm. The New Mexico Human Rights Act protects folks based on all sorts of different identities and statuses, race, class, national origin, ancestry, religion, sex, age, sexual orientation, and on and on. What this bill is doing is it's adding pregnancy to the list. Mm-hmm. So the Human Rights Act protects folks in employment, housing, public accommodations. And so really what this bill is focused on is protecting pregnant employees. And so it requires that employees who are pregnant or who have pregnancy-related needs, have just given childbirth maybe, receive reasonable accommodations so that they can continue to work.
Okay.
It can be really challenging for somebody who's pregnant if they have to leave work because of their pregnancy-related needs.
Yeah, because, prenatal visits.
Yeah, maybe they lose their health care. Yeah. Maybe they lose their income or part of their family's income as they're expecting a new child into mm-hmm. their family. Mm-hmm. So the hope is that a worker would be able to continue their employment despite any specific needs that come up because they're pregnant.
Okay.
That, you know, could be something as simple as maybe they have to lift things during their work day and they lift a little less, or maybe
yeah, or not at all because you're pregnant,
or maybe and not at all. Exactly.
That's okay. I like the fact that this is moving along. What surprises me in 2020 is that this is even an issue. I mean, people have been having kids since the beginning of people, and New Mexico, definitely, they're popping out babies. Why is this finally getting addressed now?
Right. Well, you know, it did stall in the Senate last year. Just due, you know, the sponsor would say it just ran out of time. Mm. But one of the opponents of this bill, one of the few opponents of this bill, is the New Mexico Business Coalition. New Mexico Business Coalition stood up at the House Judiciary Committee meeting last week, where it was heard, and their opposition was that there are already federal protections in place for pregnant workers. There is a federal Pregnancy Discrimination Act mm-hmm. That applies to New Mexico workers as it does to workers in any state. But what the sponsor, Gail Chasey, said was actually the federal act only protects folks who work for businesses that have 15 or more employees. And here in New Mexico, we have a lot of businesses that are smaller than that.
Yeah.
And so what this would do is it would protect employees of businesses of any size.
Okay.
So regardless of how many employees they have, they would be protected by this.
Okay.
And so the argument is that the federal protections that are in place are they're not broad enough to cover all employees in New Mexico.
I got you. So what's the status of it? Is this going to be a go?
Well, we'll see. It did pass the House unanimously,
all right,
in a 65-0 vote. It's now heading to the Senate Public Affairs Committee. It was supposed to be heard today, actually. I was hoping to be able to update you on its status, but the committee meeting got canceled.
Okay, probably due to weather.
I think they said that the chamber meeting went long, the floor meeting went long.
Okay.
So it's now been rolled over to Thursday's Senate Public Affairs Committee meeting. So we will see. Though, you know, something unique about this bill is that there really is very broad support. advocacy organizations that don't usually see eye to eye on many issues are coming together to support this bill.
Yeah.
For instance, at the committee meeting last week, both Planned Parenthood and the Right to Life Committee of New Mexico stood up in support of this bill. You know, those are folks who generally fall on different ends of the abortion issue.
Yeah.
And here they are coming together to support pregnant employees.
Yeah. That's important because I'm just thinking about this as I don't think you mentioned that opposition. It sounds like it came from an outside group, like a lobbyist group. I wouldn't know any particularly public official, particularly one who's elected, who would want to come out publicly against this.
Yeah, I think so, you know, I think some of the concerns that do exist are around employer protections. There's aspect of the bill that defines what counts as an undue hardship. Right. They're defining what counts as a reasonable accommodation for pregnant workers, but also what counts as an undue hardship for employers.
I understand that.
Most of the factors that are outlined in the bill have to do with cost. You know, if an employer is really a tiny business, you know, we're talking less than 15 employees, they may not have the funds they need to actually meet a requested accommodation. And so they would be able to cite that that's an undue hardship and not need to meet that accommodation.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I understand that. Well, we'll see. We'll keep an eye on it, and we'll see what's expecting with that. I hosted an event last night that the script was full of puns, and it, like, seeped into me. So
people love a punny podcast. So
yeah, okay.
That's just fine.
Well, they're going to get a bunch today. All right, so tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've all heard, if we pay attention to national news, that the president is about enforcing states. They're going to raise the tobacco purchasing age from 18 to 21.
And they actually already have.
They have. You're exactly right. And it's to keep kids away from e-cigarettes because they say that they're targeting that. How is that going to affect New Mexico? Are we taking steps in that?
Right. So exactly. So the federal law is already in place as of today. I mean, this was instituted in December, and today only folks who are 21 and older can buy tobacco products across the United States. Mm-hmm. However, what the Tobacco Products Act would do here in New Mexico is make that a state law. Right now, our state law still says 18. And so what that will allow the state to do is actually enforce this law. Because if it's just sitting as a federal law and it's not on the state books, federal agents would have to enforce it,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And that's not likely. And so what this does in terms of the one aspect of this bill that is about the raising the age, the purchasing age to 21, is it increases New Mexico's ability to actually enforce that new law.
Okay. That's completely reasonable. What's the status of it?
It's going to be heard tomorrow in the Senate Judiciary Committee. It was supposed to be heard yesterday, but it got rolled over. The Senate Judiciary Committee didn't have a quorum, and they ended up going to recess. And so they rolled over a couple bills that didn't get heard.
Gotcha.
But in addition to raising the age, you know, this bill does a couple of other things. You know, New Mexico is one of 11 states that doesn't regulate tobacco products. And by regulate, I don't mean that we don't have laws. Obviously, we have laws about where you can smoke or who can buy it, but we don't license. We don't have a licensure or a framework of licensure for manufacturers, distributors, retailers, gotcha. Folks who are selling tobacco in the state. And so this bill would also establish that. So all of these folks who are engaging in the tobacco industry would be licensed. It's in terms of what counts as a tobacco product, they're including e-cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And so they're extending the definition to nicotine products like vapes.
Vapes. What about nicotine gum?
Yeah, the bill says nicotine products and tobacco products.
Okay.
I'm going to have to look into gum. I do know that they don't want smoking cessation products to be prevented for younger people who maybe are smokers, they want to quit and are under 21 who want to purchase a smoking cessation.
Okay.
I believe they are working on access to that in the bill. But e-cigarettes would be included as a tobacco product. And you know, that's going to be particularly applicable, like you said, to young people.
Yeah.
Young people in New Mexico are vaping more than double the rate that they're smoking cigarettes. Mm. I think it's something like it's around 24% of high schoolers in New Mexico
wow.
say that they smoke or that they vape e-cigarettes with nicotine in them. And more like 10% are smoking traditional tobacco cigarettes.
Mm.
So youth in our state are using e-cigarettes more than they're using tobacco cigarettes. That's going to cover that product and be able to trace it.
Yeah.
You know, an issue that's hit nationally is this outbreak of lung injury.
Yes.
Right? There's been 24 cases here in New Mexico of vaping-related lung injury. And this got the Department of Health concerned because when they went to look to see, you know, who's selling these products, what's contained in these products, are these off market, are these basically anything that a regulatory framework,
yeah.
the information a regulatory framework would provide you, that information didn't exist.
Hence the licensing.
Exactly. So being able to regulate e-cigarettes is going to allow our public health department, among others, to be able to, you know, track these products and also hold people accountable. Something interesting about this bill is that right now, the current law is that if a minor purchases or possesses or uses tobacco, they could be fined or they may have to do community service.
Hmm.
This bill would take those penalties away for minors. So I spoke with Arian Showers. She's with the Department of Health the other day, and she said that criminalizing youth tobacco use is actually pretty ineffective.
Yeah.
And so what this bill hopes to do is instead to penalize the retailers who are selling to those youth. And in order to do that, you got to have them licensed
yeah.
And be able to know who they are.
Yeah.
And so that's part of what this bill is doing as well.
Okay. So I know it has to be discussed on the floor. What are your guesstimation of its chances of passing?
You know, I don't know. Arian Showers, who I spoke with at the Department of Health, said that she was pretty hopeful. I think that in terms of getting our state law in line with the federal law, that actually is necessary in order for us to get some federal funding
yeah.
Around public health. And so I would think that legislators want to see that happen.
Yeah.
And since that's tied with some of this other regulatory framework piece, I think it's likely, you know, a 30-day session is short and there's always the time issue. You know, well, I'll keep my eye on it.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
sure.
We'll see what's up. I'm going to keep my eye on which state representatives are in opposition to this and why, and see if there's, you know, funded by the tobacco lobby at all. It might be interesting to check out. All right, we're going to get to it. The key that everyone wants to light up. Another pun. Cannabis and the Cannabis Regulation Act. Now, there's some major issues of the act, and I want you to point out some of the nuances, because everybody's just kind of looking at it like, are we going to pass recreational weed? You know, how much? Where can I get it? Who's going to sell it? And everything else. And some people have talked about the potential law enforcement stresses from mm-hmm. this. But there's a few other nuanced issues that people aren't really mentioning. Can you point some of those out?
Yeah, some of the concerns that have been expressed. Well, it doesn't allow for any opt-out for any local municipalities. It's a statewide rollout of recreational marijuana. So if a local municipality would want to opt out and say, well, that's fine for Albuquerque and Santa Fe, but us over here, we're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not possible
All right.
in this bill. What they do have access to is that they can set their own local tax level. So
they can tax it extremely high.
Well, it's up to, I think for the local tax, it's up to 4%. And that would be on top of the state excise tax. It would be on top of the gross receipts tax. A local municipality could tax and put it on top of the price of the product. I think up to 4%. Yeah.
Okay.
And what they can do with that is they can use it however they would like. If they want to put that towards public safety, if they want to put that towards education or prevention,
mm-hmm.
they could do that. They can use that as they would like. And so that's maybe somewhat of a balance there. But other issues, you know, the Albuquerque Chamber of Commerce has opposed this legislation consistently because of concerns around DWI, concerns about not being able to know whether someone is driving under the influence. They're also concerned around the fact that we're a state that there's, you know, significant substance abuse issues.
Mm-hmm. True.
They're also concerned about workplace soberness, you know, being able to ensure that an employee is not coming to work high.
High, yeah. I'd like to find a one employer that has found a foolproof method of that. I've had many different jobs over my life, and quite a few, where quite a few folks came into work stoned in all sorts of positions. So I'd like to see that. Now, you mentioned, I ask a question about the municipalities if you have this information. Let's just say there's a certain municipality against it, but it passes. They add the 4% tax and use it however they want. Can they limit the number of dispensaries available in their municipality to keep it? So instead of having 10, they're like, we're just going to have one because we're not about this.
In terms of the number of dispensaries, that's a good question. I know that they can limit signage. They can limit, like, who can see, you know, marijuana signs or advertisement for dispensaries or different products. They can also have restricted consumption areas. And so they can say that, you know, you can only have a consumption area that's hidden away from view or away from, you know, this area of town, mm-hmm. those kinds of things. So they have some say in consumption areas and what the restrictions are and where they're placed and signage. I do know that.
Okay.
In terms of the number of dispensaries, I'd have to look.
Yeah, so they can make it extremely hard for a dispensary to operate and to maybe, you know, to force them out, and they make it difficult on people who want to partake.
Place.
Okay. Okay. Now, as far as criminal records, there's plenty of people who are serving time who have records for what we would call minor drug violations. Mm-hmm. A lot of them involve marijuana. Is there any talk of possibly expunging those or changing the basically how the sentencing processing of marijuana law?
Yeah, definitely. Expungement's part of this law.
Okay.
Part of this bill, and it's being proposed. So folks who have a violation on their record that would be no longer illegal under this, if this were to pass, that will be expunged. It'll be off of their record. If somebody is currently behind bars for something that's no longer illegal once this passes, they would be released.
Okay.
And so those are both part of the equity provisions within this bill. The marijuana working group that the governor put together over the summer recommended that this law has to have equity provisions. It has to uniquely serve the needs of those communities that have been disproportionately impacted by the war on drugs.
Yes.
So we're talking communities of color, low-income communities, folks who have been disproportionately imprisoned for marijuana-related offenses. And there's a number of ways that they're attempting to wrap equity up in this law.
Okay.
So not only the records expungement releasing folks from jail and from prison, but if you have a past conviction for marijuana-related offenses, that wouldn't be a barrier to holding a license. And so you would be invited to participate as a licensee, whether you wanted to open a dispensary or however you wanted to plug into this business.
Okay.
and be a business owner within the recreational marijuana space. They also, some of these, I mentioned an excise tax. There's a 9% excise tax that would be implemented statewide. And that goes to a number of different, it gets split up a number of different ways. But one of the ways is a couple funds that they've established within the bill. And one is a community grants investment fund. And this is specifically, well, an aspect of it is specifically to invest in disproportionately affected communities. And that can be in a number of different ways, through housing, jobs, mental health treatment. They're also wanting to spend some of this money on substance use disorder treatment and legal services for folks. So that's another way that they're attempting to, you know, specifically meet the needs of communities who have been disproportionately affected have, you know, where there's been inequity in terms of marijuana being illegal.
Okay. All right. We're going to find out. They are Nash Jones from KUNM. Be sure to check out Morning Edition weekdays. Nash is the fantastic host, and Nash has a great story on the Cannabis Regulation Act tomorrow on Morning Edition on 89.9.
You know what? It's on the Tobacco Products Act.
It's on tobacco products.
And it's going to air tonight on All Things Considered, and I will be airing it on Morning Edition tomorrow. And Morning Edition's on from 5 to 8 a.m.
5 to 8 a.m.
I'm an early morning person.
Early morning person who's here late at night. That's how hard Nash Jones is working for you. Nash, thanks for joining me.
I so appreciate it, Khalil. Thanks.
And that's all the time we have for today's episode. Many thanks to Nash Jones for joining me. Be sure to check out Nash on Morning Edition on KUNM and listen for their story featured on Morning Edition and All Things Considered. Tomorrow, my guest from New Mexico PBS is Gwyneth Dolan. For everyone here at KUNM, I'm Khalil A. Colonna. Thanks for listening. Your New Mexico Government is a collaboration between KUNM, New Mexico PBS, and the Santa Fe Reporter. Funding for our legislative coverage is provided in part by the Thornburg Foundation and the New Mexico Local News Fund.